wonderful sons, Mr. Peyton and Brother Royal, two fine young men. I think Brother Peyton's even got a little message he's even preached out there on the World Wide Web somewhere. If you find it, you probably look, you'll probably find him preaching out there. And then his wife, a great singer. I don't know if she's going to sing or not today. That's purely up to them what they do. He also is the Section 4 of Michigan District Youth Director, and also assists his dad there in South Haven, Michigan. And today we are privileged to have him come preach to us. How many is going to get behind the man of God? How many is going to give him some amens? How many is going to let him preach unfettered today in Jesus' name?
Praise the Lord, everyone. I count it a great privilege and honor to be able to stand behind this pulpit. Like Brother Smith said, we are very close, more like brothers than cousins. I've looked up to him and his brother for a very long time. My brother and I grew up hanging out with them all over. They probably got tired of us at times by the time when we were Peyton and Royal's age, but we had to go everywhere they went. We hung on to them. They took us places. They were nice to us. They could say, "Get out of here, you little kid." But no, they hung out with us and they talked to us and spent time with us. So I am very, very thankful for that, always treating us like brothers. And also to your pastor's wife, Sister Smith. Oh, man, I love Sister Smith. I've always had. And Christiana and Kristen, you guys are doing an awesome job helping your mom and dad out. Why don't we give them a hand clap of appreciation? I know what it's like to come to a church when you're the only young person there. You and your mom, you and your brother are the other young people there. But let me tell you something. That's a great feeling, though, when you begin to see other young people come in. And you get to be the one to mentor. And you're the one that's been there. And you get to minister to the other young people in your life. I'd like my wife to stand up real quick and give a testimony real fast for us. And I'm glad to have my wife and my children here with me today. If you have your Bibles today, if you would turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemous? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk.' But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power of earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" I'd like to title my message today, "Don't let anything stand in the way of your blessing." Don't let anything stand in the way of your blessing. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to gather together, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you anoint this message, God. Lord, that we ask that you speak into somebody's life today, God. Lord, they need your help, God. They've been waiting for a while to hear from you, God. God, let it take anything that's in their life that they need your answer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The man that has had palsy all of his life, that was stuck to a bed for all this time, heard that Jesus was coming into his town. He had heard of the miracles that had been happening by this man called Jesus. He probably was thinking to himself, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just get into his presence where I could see him, I know that I can be healed. I know if he can heal everybody else, I know that he can heal my body. He had some of his friends bring him to the house where Jesus was. And when they got there, they found that it was so crowded there that there was no way that they could go through the door to get into where Jesus was. He could have stopped right there and say, well, I guess it's too late. I guess I'm not going to get my healing. I guess I'm not going to get my blessing. But he said, no, that's all right. There's a roof on top of this place. We're going up onto the rooftop. And they made their way upon the roof. And when they found out right about where Jesus was, they began to rip the roof off that place. And when the roof was ripped off the place, they lowered him down into front of Jesus' feet. And God looked at them and he said, because of your faith, because of your faith, you are healed. Rise up and walk. And the man did. The bed that had been stuck in, that he has been stuck in for so many years, how now he was carrying the bed that had been carrying him so many years, he was carrying out of the place. And I don't believe that he was just walking out timidly, but I believe that the man began to shout, the man began to dance, and the man began to worship God with everything that he's had, because he said, I've been bound too long by this bed, I've been bound too long by this disease. I'm going to give God praise because he's healed me and he's delivered me. I don't know about you, church, but if I begin to see somebody that has been bound by a bed for their entire life begin to get up and shout, I would begin to have a Holy Ghost shout down right there. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. God didn't just heal him partially, because if he did, his muscles wouldn't have had strength to pick up a bed. His muscles wouldn't have had strength to dance around. But he said, I'm not going to just make it where you can walk slow and timidly, but I'm going to make it where you can shout. I'm going to make it where you can give God praise, because you're my witness. You're my witness. God's touched your body. You've entered into the presence of the Lord and you've been healed because you had the faith. Come on, church. Why don't we give God a hand clap of praise? Sometimes it may seem that no matter what we do, we can't get through to God's presence. It seems like, well, no matter how long we pray, no matter how hard we pray, it feels like our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling back down at us and say, I don't understand why I'm going through this situation. I don't understand that no matter how hard I pray, that it's not working out. Sometimes we have to call on a brother or a sister in the Lord to help them, to help us pray about the situation. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So people, church members, when there's people around you and you feel like they're struggling and you see them go down, I remember one time watching somebody pray. They would get up and pray like this for a little bit, and then they'd get down and they'd begin to beat the altar because they were trying to break through into the presence of God. But sometimes all they need is a good brother or a good godly sister to come up and lay their hands upon them and begin to pray with them and begin to comfort them and say, God, I don't know what it is, but I know and I believe that you're able. You're still able to answer the blessings. You're still able to answer the calling, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we come to give you praise. I'm not going to let anything get into the way of my blessing. Let me tell you something today. We still believe that in order to make heaven our home, you must repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And live a holy life. You have to do more than just believe there is a God to think that you're going to heaven. You can believe there is a God all you want, but until you actually feel His touch, until you actually experience what the Holy Ghost is, until you actually experience your own relationship with God, you really don't know what God is all about. You really don't know what God is capable of. Come on, church. So don't begin to doubt Him if you don't really know what God's capable of. About. And you say, there's no way that He can touch me. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Have you seen what God has done before? My God's capable of doing anything that you ask. Thomas, how many remember doubting Thomas? Thomas knew God, but then he didn't believe when he was told that God had been risen from the dead. He didn't believe until he placed his hands in the scars of God's hands. And he placed his hands in the scars of God's sides. Today there are a lot of people like Thomas. They don't know there's a God, but they know there's a God, but they don't really know what He's capable of doing yet. My God is capable of healing the deaf. My God is capable of healing the dumb. He's capable of putting marriages back together. He's capable of giving you favor in the eyes of your employer when everybody else around you is being laid off. But He said, that's my child. I'm going to protect their finances. I'm going to protect their livelihood. Come on, don't tell me that's a lie, because let me tell you something. I've witnessed that firsthand. When everybody around me at my work was being laid off, they laid some 20 or 30 people off. If you've seen these two guys, Nate and Vern, heading your way, you better get out of there. You better try to hide, because they're going to tell you to pack your stuffs because you've just been laid off. But God kept His hand on me. When there was people that had more seniority than me at the job, He said, that's my child. I'm going to protect him. I'm going to protect his job. And I thank God for that, because if it had not been for God, where would I be? He's still capable of raising the dead. If He can raise the dead, then He can turn a drug addict into a soul winner. If He can cast out demons, then He can make a thief into a Sunday school teacher. If He can breathe air into the dirt and make man, then He can enter into this place right now and fill somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost. All we have to do is allow God to work in our lives. Don't bind God's hand. Don't allow something to get in your way of your blessing. Don't tie God's arms and say, you can't do it for me. Why don't you lift up your arms and give God a chance and say, God, okay, I believe you say you're going to do it, and I'm believing it in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like the multitudes that blocked the entryway for Jesus, where Jesus was for the man of palsy. The devil may throw things at you to try to break you down, to try to keep you from getting into God's presence. He'll try to discourage you. He'll try to bring up the past. He says, you can't be a child of the King. You've done too many bad things. You've been into the bars. You've been out carousing. You've been out cussing. You've been out fighting. You've been unfaithful. But let me tell you something. God said, if you bring it to Him and lay it on the altar, He'll make you white as, wash your heart white as snow. Those things that you used to be part of don't have you bound anymore. Those things that used to be on your back are now under your feet. They're now your testimony. Why don't you give God the praise for your testimony? Don't begin to hold your head down when the devil begins to beat you up. But why don't you say, that's right, devil, that's what I was, but that's not what I'm not anymore. I come to give God praise. I come to do something for God. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We need to reach up and tear off the roof off this place and do whatever it takes to get into God's presence. We need to dance when we don't feel like dancing. We need to shout when we don't feel like shouting. Let me tell you something. It only takes one spark to start a bonfire. And you just might be that spark that's going to set your church on fire. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost fire. Like Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I remember one time at our church, there's a little boy by the name of James. And at our church, it was a regular Sunday morning service. I know you guys probably don't have services like this, but it seemed like nobody wanted to do anything. Everybody's just sitting there. You're lucky I'm here. Stuff like that. Man, it was dry could be. But let me tell you something. James, 9 years old, was in the back standing. He was helping ushering that day. And he began to take a lap around that church. He didn't know what he was feeling at the time. But he got out and he began to run around that church. And that church busted loose. People began to come out of their pews shouting. People began to get out of their pews and worship. I didn't have to tell them to get up and worship. My dad didn't have to tell them to put their hands together. But there was something in that building. And the Spirit of the Lord began to come into that place. And I believe healings began to happen. People began to shout. People began to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. All because one person said, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to run around the church because that's what I'm feeling. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see a revival like nobody has ever seen before. I'm talking about a revival that's greater than Azusa Street. I'm talking a revival that people will be talking about for decades. It's just like fire shut up in my bones. And let me tell you something. When it's like fire shut up in your bones, you can't contain it. You got to go out into this world and you got to tell somebody about it. You said, I don't know what it is. People come into the church that have no idea what God is about, and they feel this goosebump from the top of their heads go to the bottom of their feet, and God reached down right in the middle of service and filled them with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they gotta tell somebody about it, because this joy that I have, this world didn't give it, this world didn't give it, and this world cannot take it away. People will look at you on the job and say, there's something different about you. There's a glow about you. There's a joy about you. What is that? Let me tell you something. My God has come into my heart, and He's beginning to kick things out that don't need to be there. He's beginning to cut things out that shouldn't have been there. And there's joy in my body. There's peace in my home. There's love in my home. There's love in my family, because I'm not the way that I used to be. Hallelujah. Don't let anything get into the way of your blessing. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Pretty soon the news will start to spread. If you want to experience something like you've never experienced before, then you need to go down to that church in the middle of town, and you got to step in and sit in there for a service. You won't believe what I saw. People were shouting. People were dancing. You didn't have to sit there all quiet and wait for the preacher to give his sermonette and his organized message. But there was something different. That preacher up there was screaming. That preacher up there was shouting. They were shouting in the field with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They begin to cry, snot, and slobber. There's something different about that place, because when you go in there, you don't go out feeling the same way. But when you go in there, you come out feeling clean. You come out feeling good. You come out feeling happy. You don't want to just feel like you're made to go to church, but you want to go to church, because there's peace in the church. There's love in the church. This is your family. This is where you need to bind together to fight against the devil. Hallelujah. If you're tired of being the devil's punching bag, step on into the Holy Ghost fire, where the fire's too hot for any devil to handle. It's time that we stop being intimidated by this world and go forth with a boldness. The world isn't careful on how they act around you. The world isn't careful on what they show you on their billboards or what they show you on the internet. They're not careful. They begin, come on, so why should we be careful? When they get let out a cuss word at work, or they can let out a cuss word, or they're not scared to smoke in front of you or drink in front of you, why should we be scared to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You're a good God. You're a great God. I come to give you praise. I don't want to be any part of this, but I come to give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was at work. And where I was working at, there was about five people around me. And they began to ask me about my church, what it was like. So I began to tell them. And I didn't leave out any details. People shout. We got this one sister that sits in the back. I love, I'm not making fun, but I love to watch when new people come in. Because all of a sudden it'll be quiet and all of a sudden she'll, ah! One of my buddies that I invited to church, it was hilarious because he gripped that pew so hard with white knuckles. He said, what was that? That Sister Ruby, she's getting her blessing. She don't care who's there. She don't care who's there, who's around them. So I begin to tell him about all the things that happened at church and being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, when I got to the part about speaking in tongues, they asked me if I had the Holy Ghost. And I said, yes, I do. Well, they started to make fun of me. They started to poke fun. You're crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And stuff like that. Well, I just took it with a smile. Because the Bible tells, do not cast the pearl in front of the swine. So I just took it with a smile. And I just laughed it off and let them go on about it. Because they'll be quiet in a minute. They'll get tired of themselves. That was on a Friday. Well, that next Monday morning, one of the guys came up to me by himself and he apologized to me. He told me, for some reason, I couldn't stop thinking about how we were talking about you and your faith. I couldn't sleep good at night. All I was tossing and turning thinking about that. I don't understand why, but I just want to apologize for the way that we were acting. And I didn't say nothing to him or give him a great lecture or nothing like that, but I said, thank you. Thank you for apologizing. You see, but I believe that was God dealing with him. So you see, although people may make fun of you in front of other people, God has a way of talking to them individually. Maybe not right at that time, but a little while later when they're sitting at home or they're trying to go to sleep, God begins to put that nugget in their mind and in their spirit, and they begin to toss and turn and they can't take it because God's not going to lose the battle. God's not going to lose it. In Genesis 3, beginning in verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord. God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, this part always gets me every time I read it. It says, the woman who thou gavest me has told me to eat of the tree. And I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And above every beast in the field, upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and it shall bruise his heel. The devil thought he was smooth by getting Eve to rebel against God and eat of the forbidden fruit. He thought he was winning the battle. He thought that he was going to trick them and they were going to somehow override God. But little did he know, he hurt himself. God said that now the devil was no longer going to be able to walk on his legs like normal animals, but he was going to begin to slither upon his belly like a disgusting creature. God said that he would make the woman and her seed hate him and his seed, so much so that if they see the snake, they would want to kill one. They wouldn't want any part of it. God said that the devil's head would be bruised and the man's heel would be bruised. So in other words, we're going to be stomping on the devil's head. We're going to be stomping on the snake's head. So don't let the devil begin to get into your life and begin to say that he's going to defeat you, because the Bible tells us right there that he's going to bruise our heel. So we're going to bounce our foot off of his head. Why don't we give God some praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The devil tries to trick us. He tries to make the things of this world look good and fun to the human eye. They'll show you the billboards of a pretty lady smoking a cigarette and having fun and sitting up there. But it won't show you that same lady 20 or 30 years down the road carrying an oxygen bag, coughing just about every other breath because her lungs are coated with the tar that she's been putting into her body for so many years. Or they'll show you the guys out at a bar having fun, hanging out with their buddies. But they won't show you that same man later on down the road with a broken family, with a dying of cirrhosis of the liver, because he's been out there carousing and drinking when his family was at home waiting for him to bring the paycheck home. He was out spending the paycheck on booze. Let me tell you something, the devil will try to paint you a pretty picture. He'll try to make it look like it's fun. And I'm not going to lie, a lot of them say they were having fun for a little while, for a season. But when things begin to go south, like the prodigal son found out when he began to run out of money where he could support his friends and his habits, he found himself alone in a pig pen, getting ready to eat what the pigs were eating. He wanted his inheritance early. He blew it. But he said, hey, I don't have to be this way. Back at my father's house. Back at my father's house, there's food to eat. There's clean sheets to sleep in. There's a clean robe to sleep, to walk around in. I can get out of these filthy things. And when he made his way back to where his father's house was, he didn't see the gates closed with no trespassing signs, but he saw his father looking out, waiting for him with his arms open wide and saying, come on, son, you're still welcome here. Come on, son, come on into the house of the Lord. You're still welcome. So let me tell you something. If you know somebody that thinks that they don't want to come back to church because they feel weird about it, or they're not going to feel welcome, let me tell you something. Why don't you tell them, God, that's just the devil playing with your mind. That's the devil talking to you. You need to come to the church where God's waiting there with open arms. He's waiting for you to come back to his house. Come back, son. Come back, daughter. I got something for you. I got a place for you to stay. Hallelujah. The devil already knows he's not going to make heaven his home. So he's going to try to do everything in his power to bring people down with him. The devil hates to see people worship and praise God. Even though they had a bad day. Even though they had a bad day, they're still worshiping. They still made it to church. They still made it to their post. And they're still going to praise God. He hates to see a person on fire for God and ready to do everything for the kingdom of God. Every time we begin to praise and worship God, the devil begins to tremble because he knows he just lost another battle. Every time somebody is filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's like a stomp to the devil's head, saying, devil, you just lost another one. You're not going to get this one. This is another child of the King. We come forth in the name of Jesus. He will come at you with financial problems. He'll come at you with sickness. He'll come at you with stress. But if we can stand strong in the faith and keep our eyes upon Jesus, God will see us through. When the devil begins to mess with us or our family, it's like he's instigating a fight. That's when we need to bounce our foot off his head and say, devil, you thought you seen me dance before? Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm getting ready to dance all around this place. Devil, you thought I was involved with church before? You ain't seen nothing yet. I just decided to spend a couple more days at church. I just decided to sign up for a couple more events that the church is going to do. You may say, well, I get more involved with church when it seems like no matter what you do, the devil begins to fight at you. The devil begins to tear at you. Then everything begins to come harder. Let me tell you why. Because the reason why is he comes at you harder is because he can feel you getting out of his reach, and he doesn't want to make it to make it to heaven when he can't. Let me tell you why. Because when the devil begins to come at you with all he's got, that's when you need Jesus the most. That is when you need good godly fellowship the most. If you take up all your free time where you've been bored or you've been looking for things to do, with doing things around the church, with being around people, church people, then you'll find yourself saved. But if you begin to fall back and say, I'm tired, or I'm bored, I'm not going to go to church today, that's when you begin to open up an avenue for the devil to creep on in. But church, let me tell you something. Every time the doors are open at the church, come to church. Be frequent at the church. Be frequent at the prayers at the altar before church and after church, because you got to spiritually strengthen yourself. It's to prepare you for a warfare, a spiritual warfare that you're already going through or that you're about to go through. Hallelujah. The music can come. I'm getting close to closing. In Ephesians 6, chapter 10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Why don't we stand tonight, today, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take on the helmet of salvation. Protect my mind, God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make it known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I've been made to speak boldly. I've been made to go out and witness to the people around me. I've been made to go out and be a witness by the way that I act. If we do like the Bible says in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, then there is no way that the devil can defeat us. He will just have to get used to it by getting his head stomped on by the church. I don't know about you, but I'm going to do whatever it takes for my church. I'm going to do whatever it takes for myself. I'm going to do whatever it takes for my family. I'm going to do whatever it takes for my friends to make heaven their home. I wonder if there's anybody here today that will begin to worship God, that will stand with me and say, no matter what it takes, I'm going to continue to fight the fight all the way to the end. Every devil that comes against my brother, every devil that comes against my sister, every devil that comes against my church, every devil that comes against my city, every devil that comes against my friends, I rebuke.
rebuke it in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. We bind it in Jesus' name and we cast it out. I'm not going to let anything stand in the way of my blessing. I'm not going to let anything hinder me from getting into God's presence. If you're here today and you haven't been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to walk out of this place without being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. If everybody's been telling you, let me tell you something right now. If the devil's dealing with you and saying, he's not talking to you, you've been too bad, you've done too much, let me tell you something. That's a lie from the devil. God's saying all you have to do is lift up your hands and begin to say, God, I'm sorry for everything that I've done. God, I'm going to repent of every sin that I've ever done. Lord, that whatever wasn't pleasing in your eyes, we're binding it in Jesus' name. God, I need you to come into this place right now, God, like you never came before. We want to feel your presence like no other time before. I'm not going to leave this place the same way. I'm not going to leave this place sick. I'm not going to leave this place discouraged. I'm not going to leave this place angry. But I'm going to leave this place a new creature. Come on, why don't we begin to worship Him? You're a great God. Hallelujah, you're a mighty God. Lord, speak, God. Speak, God. Worship. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you thought I was worth saving. Oh, when everybody else around me thought I was to just get thrown out, to just get kicked under the rug. God, you thought I was worth saving. They're not to throw away yet. I'm not going to throw you away, but I'm going to use you. I got something in store for you. I got a plan for your life. I got something in store for you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, can we find a place to pray in this house, whether it's in your seat, whether you come to these altars? But can we tear off some things today, God, that's hindered us and stopped us from getting into the presence of God? Can we shed off some things right now? Can you just find just a few moments to spend with the Master and somehow say, God, I may have came in here not what I wanted to be, but today, God, I'm going to go home changed up. I challenge you, you won't go home the way you came if you can step into the presence of God just for a few moments.
We need you, Lord, please draw near as we call on your name. We want you, we need you, Lord, please draw near as we call on your name. We want you, we need you, Lord, please draw near as we call on your name. We want you, we need you, Lord, please draw near as we call on your name. We want you, we need you, Lord, please draw near as we call on your name. We want you, you. Lord, please draw near as we call on your name. We want you. We need you. Lord, please draw near as we call on your name. We want you. We need you. Lord, please draw near as we call on your name. Your name, we want you, we need you, Lord, please draw near as we call on your name.
Let's press in just for a few more moments in His presence. Let's not take lightly what's been delivered to us today, but let's take it and hide it into our hearts. Let's get something down inside of us that says, God, I need a deeper walk than I've ever had before. And I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to be betrayed. But somehow, God, I need some depth to my walk. I need some depth to my talk. I need a deeper relationship than I've ever had before. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus.
We call on your name. We want you. Please draw near. Call on your name.
Hallelujah, Jesus. 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 Jesus.